It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problems. Thank you. It's true. And these are the best and the finest. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting. And it only makes common sense. It only makes common sense. They're sending us not the right people. It's coming from more than Mexico. It's coming from all over South and Latin America, and it's coming probably from the Middle East. But we don't know, because we have protection, and we have no competence. We don't know what's happening, and it's got to stop, and it's got to stop fast.
That was not president, but a candidate, Donald Trump, in July of 2015. Can you believe it? And with that, honestly, the controversy was launched. The hatred was embedded. The misconstruing of what he actually meant began, really, in that speech, I think. The president from that speech was called a racist, both to Mexicans and also to Muslims, and it has not stopped since. It's become a thing that's grown and grown and grown. The president has offended so many people in this culture because he has gone against the politically correct norms that seem to control the airwaves and the things that we say. A new book is just coming out called Necessary Noise, How Donald Trump Inflames the Culture War, and Why This Is Good News for America. It's written by Star Parker, along with our next guest, Richard Manning. Let me tell you about Rick. You've heard him on this, heard him with me before many times. But Rick is the president of Americans for Limited Government. He's been working on this book with Star for a very long time. The book explains how we got where we are and how President Trump is going to get us out of it, says Rick. They talk about all kinds of things in this book, really interesting chapters like immigration madness, Cappy or Commie, a new sexualized culture plays house, where shall the feminists go now, and on it goes. It's a great book talking about why Donald Trump offends so many people and why this is actually a good thing. Rick, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. You know, Sandy, it's when I was writing and helping Star write this book, and you know, it is in first person by Star, so I am a helper in this role. But one of the people I really was informed by on a lot of these issues as I was researching and writing the first drafts was you, and the efforts at AFA to fight these issues and being the point of the spear, and just being encouraged by how you stand out and are unafraid to fight. And the theme of this book is really all about, you know, Donald Trump, while his language is coarse, and I wish that he didn't cuss, he's shaking everything up. The kind, gentle voices that were often whispering that, oh, this is going too far here in Washington, D.C., we were losing. We were losing bad. We were being run over. And quite honestly, people didn't realize it. People, you know, and suddenly they looked around and they say, what do you mean the Obama administration is suing a school district in Illinois so that boys can shower with girls? What do you mean? How'd that happen? That's crazy. And yet it was it was percolating for a long time, and I think people were shocked to find out that the people in Washington were not nearly as stunned by it as America, as people who live outside the swamp were. And so it's one of the things that kind of informed the book, and it was largely a lot of your contribution. And thinking, and that's helped me, because quite honestly, you're one of the people I really depend on to keep me up to date what the point of the spear issues are. So,
well, that's
there's a lot of Sandy in it.
You're very generous, Rick. So I didn't add to your resume that we're good friends, but I'll add that. And we do work together. We do work together in Washington a lot. We have wonderful friends, you and I, that we coordinate with. We learn a lot from each other, and we work really hard to try to turn back what's happened in this country. And this book is a great contribution to that, Rick. I did not give you as full introduction as I want to. Rick served on the Trump transition team. I think he's still serving with them as a transition team member of the Labor Department. And also, Rick is heard on over 100 radio markets giving swamp updates, and he's a host of Breitbart News Tonight on Sirius XM 125, and also frequently guest on One America News Network, which is that new network that often comes up in our conversations. All right, so Rick, you're very tied into Washington, and let me just say this about you, and then we'll finish bragging on each other, but this is true. Honestly, Rick has insights that few have. He has very unusual, unique insights, but it's not just that he's trying to be quirky. It is that he actually understands so many things and puts the pieces together. In many ways, Rick is a generalist like I am, trying to learn about everything, because all these things fit together like pieces of a puzzle. And so this is Rick, again, the president of Americans for Limited Government. All right, Rick, so we're watching this. Before we talk about the book more, we're watching this impeachment drama unfold in Washington. And my first question is, do you have any doubt at all that the president will be impeached by the House?
I don't have any doubt, although I do believe that, I'm going to take it back one step. I think that it's really important that people, particularly people who live in districts that are swing districts, that their members, whether they're Republican or Democrat, that they come hard at those members, telling them what they think about impeachment. This is the defining issue for the 2020 election. I believe it's the defining issue that's going to set the stage for the entirety of the decade of the 2020 decade. Because depending on what happens with Donald Trump tells you what's going to happen with the country for the next 10 to 20 years. So, And the Democrats are making it very clear. They do not intend to allow the people of the United States to have another chance to vote for Donald Trump for president, because they fear, the Democrats fear, that the people will embrace the president and will vote for him once again, and he will be able to at least take a bigger chunk out of the swamp than he already had, and take a bigger chunk out of the leftist policies that they've put into place, and really begin to do some real unwinding of the left and the stranglehold that they had here in Washington. And that was a stranglehold they had both on the Republican establishment and the Democrats. So, yeah, I think they're going to impeach. I think they're going to force their members to vote on it and to vote to impeach. But, Sandy, if the people of America stand up and tell those members that they don't want impeachment, and those members go ahead and do it anyway, at that juncture, Nancy Pelosi will have driven the Democratic caucus off a political cliff.
Yeah,
and her capacity to have a caucus for the next, she'll hold them together for a year, but there won't be a majority, the House won't be a majority Democrat caucus in 2021. And President Trump's agenda will have a chance, because two things will happen. We won't have Paul Ryan as Speaker. And if the Republicans hold the Senate, there truly will be a Trump majority. And that will allow this president to push his agenda for at least 1 year before they declare him a lame duck and try to write him off for the next three. So we've got a window. It's a 1-year window. We've got to win. They're going to impeach. We have to make them pay a price, and then we're going to win. Then I think Donald Trump's going to win in 2020. At that juncture, we have to be ready to hit the ground running because we have to get the Trump agenda done fast after that.
Yeah,
No looking back.
You know, Starr, who is this is her book along with you, Necessary Noise, made the observation, and rightfully so, that President Lincoln pointed out a tremendous divide, a great divide, he called it, in the nation during a speech in 1858, and that was his House Divided speech. And he said, our nation could no longer be half free and half slave. And she said, we are now in a similar point, that our nation must become all one thing or all the other, but we can no longer be both. I think she's right, because, Rick, honestly, okay, if you look at it from the Democrats' point of view, in terms of the impeachment, for instance, they think that if they can drag this out and continue night by night, every night, having these hearings and leaking or presenting to the press, which happily repeats what they're told by Adam Schiff, that everything's bad for President Trump, that they can take this to the 2020 election and get him defeated. The right feels, and that's you and me, I think we feel, that this sham process of impeachment is going to damage all the Democrats and that there will be a great victory in 2020 and also probably in the House and the Senate. But we can't be sure which way it's going to go, can we?
No, we really can't, because when the Civil War occurred, both sides thought they were going to win. Okay, I'm not equating this in terms of a military battle because it's unfair, but the truth is, anytime you have a great divide, both sides think that they're going to win, the mistake that the left has made. And it was during the Obama administration, this is part of the book, the mistake that the left has made is they pushed too fast. They got greedy. They didn't sit there and say, gee, they are effectively infiltrating all of culture and destroying anything that resembled Western civilization just over a period of time through our school system and our communication systems have been taken over by people who aren't in favor of Western civilization. As a result, if they had waited, they'd waited half a generation, 10 years, culturally, the entire country would have been gone, and most of us wouldn't even have known it. It would have, and by the time people woke up, it would have been too late. But they pushed too hard, and they pushed too hard during the Obama administration, and as a result, the American people rose up and said, well, we don't want a standard Republican. We need a Trump. We need somebody who's going to fight for us. We need somebody who's going to stand up and take on this entirety of this globalization, everything from trade to a sense that people were not getting ahead and were working harder and harder and getting less and less, a fear that their kids were going to have a worse place to grow up than they did. And a general sense that everything was going wrong, that things were just sliding into kind of just a sense of wrongness. And if the left had bided their time, America would have basically accepted the wrongness because they would have boiled slowly like a frog in a pot.
Yeah.
But
very
instead, they turned up the heat too much, and now the people are trying to jump out. And Donald Trump is the person they're calling to help them get out of this pot.
Yes, exactly. No, that's true. And so I'm talking with Rick Manning, and the book is called Necessary Noise: How Donald Trump Inflames the Culture Wars and Why This is Good News for America. We have so much to say and so little time, so stay tuned. Rick and I will talk about the president's policies on immigration, on trade, on business, and the things about race, and all of the things he's offended people with and why those were necessary offenses. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
what happened in Charlottesville strikes at the core of America. And tonight, this entire arena stands united in forceful condemnation of the thugs who perpetrate hatred and violence. But the very dishonest media, those people right up there with all the cameras. So and I mean truly dishonest people in the media and the fake media, they make up stories. They have no sources in many cases. They say a source says there is no such thing, but they don't report the facts. Just like they don't want to report that I spoke out forcefully against hatred, bigotry, and violence, and strongly condemned the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, and the KKK.
All right, that was President Trump. After the Charlottesville incident, you will recall, because of what happened in Charlottesville, that clash between the so-called neo-Nazis and various demonstrators who were actually organized by an Obama supporter. That's the irony of this. The truth of Charlottesville really never got out. But the truth that you heard was that President Trump said that the neo-Nazis were good people. And that's all that people remember. That was the thing that he said that most infuriated and branded him further. He must indeed be a racist, combined with the first statement we played for you about Mexicans coming across the border who were rapists. And, of course, out of context, you can make that point, but in context, that's not at all what the president said. There's a new book out called Necessary Noise, How Donald Trump Inflames the Culture War and Why This is Good News for America. It's written by Star Parker, along with Rick Manning, who was our guest. And Rick, you say that this is good news for America, but I want to ask you again, how could it possibly be good news when President Trump says something like we just heard, or the statement I played at the top of the show, he is inflaming people, especially on the issue of race. How could that be good?
Well, for a long time, well, first of all, let me remind everybody that what he actually said in Charlottesville, if I remember correctly, was specifically there were some good people who were there protesting that they didn't want the statue of Robert E. Lee taken down. But he condemned the neo-Nazis and the Nazis and the KKK people who showed up, and he condemned violence on both sides, and not just he said, and the violence on both sides is wrong, and the left took that to mean, oh well, you're obviously you just made it so it's okay to commit violence, and it was exactly opposite of what he said. He condemned all violence, and he condemned the violent elements that were participating on both sides of that rally, and he did so unequivocally. So, and yet today we still have presidential candidates referring to that and completely lying about what he said, even though the tape is there. So it's the truth doesn't matter to the other side in terms of this. Why is this important? It's important because if you're going to have if you're stuck inside the politically correct barriers where you fear not say, gee whiz, real people, honest people can be opposed to ripping down statues from our history. Whether or not you like the history, you don't like the history, it is not really that important. The point is some people are trying to erase American history. And when you say that anybody who opposes those who wish to erase American history are in some way tarred with a brush of being a fascist or a neo-Nazi or some other despicable label, at that juncture, you are essentially making it so it is unsafe and you're unable to have a real conversation about why it's important for us to remember American history, both the good and the bad. And unfortunately, what the left wants to do is they want to erase American history in its entirety and replace it with a history that is built around, that essentially is a history where America's, what they call America's original sin, which is slavery. And they want to build everything in America around slavery. That's what they've learned in college. That's what they've been taught, and it's a false narrative. They dismiss all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, because they can't have God come into this. That our country was actually founded on a principle of equality that's uniquely found in Christianity, okay, in Judeo-Christian culture. Uniquely found in Judeo-Christian culture. And yet they can't, so they have to dismiss that. So they have to dismiss the founders by focusing on flaws rather than focusing on their aspirations of, and their dreams of what America can be and what the individual can be in this great country. So that's why having this conversation matters, because you have to have that conversation. You have to get to the, they're trying to hide over the real conversation by smearing anybody who wants to talk about American history from a perspective of the aspirations of our founders, and not worried and supposed to talk about whether they have wooden teeth or they own slaves. And yeah. And they want to dismiss everybody who's, you know, basically our founding fathers based on slave ownership, forgetting that in fact the documents they put down laid the framework for individual rights and freedom unlike anything that's been seen in the history of the world.
You know, Rick, I think it could be argued that the president's strong statements, and they are strong, his tweets, his statements, have caused the left to harden their position on shutting down speech. You can't say that. You can't say that. They've ramped up the punishment. They've ramped up the tweet storms, the Twitter mobs. They've ramped up their clamping down on college campuses. And by doing that, it seems to me, I think it could be argued, that we are seeing more and more Americans, regular people, are seeing how dangerous it is to be in a, how potentially dangerous it would be to live in a society where you can't say what you think. I think this, his statements have caused such a reaction from the left that we are seeing more clearly their purposes is indeed to shut down all free speech.
Absolutely. He's been a catalyst to having the raw discussion, the real discussion. There's no hiding. If you look at the Democratic presidential primary, not a single one of them is hiding behind the old soft words of that we heard from Obama in 2008 when he went on a show with John McCain, hosted by pastor of Saddleback Church, Rick Warren, and was asked about gay marriage. And he said, no, I support traditional marriage. And yet, a few years later, they weren't defending the Defense of Marriage Act in court. And he did everything he could to rip apart traditional marriage and as a direct lie. Just a couple of days ago, Joy Behar on The View complained that the Democrat candidates for president need to quit talking about what they really want to do. If they want to confiscate guns, they should just lie about it now and then confiscate guns once they're elected president. That's Joy Behar just a few days ago on The View.
Well,
this president has forced them to be honest.
Yeah, exactly, because that's exactly what they were doing. That's exactly what they were doing. While America slept, they pretended, and little by little, inch by inch, we're making greater gains. So now we know really clearly what we're up against, thanks to President Trump's bluntness. And speaking of the sexual wars, I'll call it that, you have a chapter called New Sexualized Culture Plays House, interesting title. But one of the things that President Trump did that you referred to earlier was he rescinded one of President Obama's executive orders. And by the way, he's rescinded most, if not all, of President Obama's executive orders. But this particular one was forcing school districts to open their bathrooms to make them gender neutral and withholding aid if they did not. And that was outrageous. That happened not long before he went out of office. President Trump reversed that. And so speak about that, Rick, about what his impact has been on that issue.
Well, I think what he's done is he's looked at crazy and pointed at it and said, that's crazy. And America nods its head, but let me be clear. If we had elected somebody else president, Republican or Democrat, And I'll give a pass on a couple of people, but by and large, we've elected somebody like the Republicans had nominated in the past, the Jeb Bush type. There would have been a quiet acquiescence to the push for same gender bathrooms, for women, boys competing against girls in sports, for the entirety of the nuttiness that we're seeing. And even with Donald Trump in office, we're still seeing NCAA champions, women's champions, who are biological males, who are competing unfairly against females. But Donald Trump's been not afraid to take them on. Has taken away the administrative tools to enforce that, and now has created a pathway where rational people can fight it in court, and we can have a real discussion about whether or not we should let people who 10 years ago were considered to be needing psychiatric help to now be competing as girls when they're boys, whether or not they should be reading books to our children in libraries. The entirety of the takeover of the education system by the nuts has effectively, we're having a conversation about that. We're trying to figure out what to do about it. And if not for Donald Trump, a lot of us would be yelling and screaming and saying, what the heck is going on? But we wouldn't have a big enough megaphone to be heard. And this president has uses his megaphone to point out crazy when he sees it. And this is just one more example of how this president is making a monumental difference, not just through the executive orders and the regulations he's pulling back and the like, but just by simply looking at crazy and saying, we're not doing that, and allowing other people to have a voice as well, who otherwise might be intimidated and afraid to stand up.
Well, and tangent to that is also what he's done in the military, and maybe some quietly and some not so quietly. Barack Obama made a concerted effort to transform the American military into something into his likeness, which was allowing transgender soldiers, the ramping up of the LGBT forces within the Pentagon, so that people like chaplains were punished and fired. So that issue in the Pentagon, at least for the time, has been quelled. And it was done through, it's complicated, it's an through General Mattis's study on this issue, and I'm not even going to go into the decision there. Let me just say, suffice it to say, they put a stop to what was happening under the demands and announcements of Ash Carter under President Obama. Now, the military left and in the Pentagon, that stronghold, are furious with him, Rick. Talk about politically incorrect to them. They are furious at the reversals. Maybe you could say a word about that.
Well, you're right. They are furious about the reversal. Barack Obama fundamentally changed everything. He corrupted every one of our institutions, including the Pentagon. They wiped out, basically told a bunch of people who were majors ready to become colonels, basically just shut them down and encouraged them to retire. And so he put his own imprint and people who believed and agreed with him into positions in the military that are shocking. And part of those are for the fundamental transformation to open the military to all sorts of people who were not welcome in the past. And transgenders being one. The study that Mattis did was interesting Mattis didn't do it, but the study was conducted. Was interesting because one of the things that they found out was that a transgender person is actually never ready for combat. They come into the military. You and I pay for their quote unquote transition, and then they're on drugs for years afterwards, and they can't be separated from those drugs. So you can't deploy people, for instance, who had gone through the transgender surgery and the like for years, may effectively creating an entire second class of people, not second class, but a class of people in the military who are there simply to get medical care as opposed to and or get what they're calling medical care, and have you and I pay for it, but have no intention of actually ever being in the military. And ultimately, so it wasn't a decision that was made based on transgenders being, you know, the transitioning and stuff. It's based on, it doesn't make sense for the military to do this because you end up with a bunch of people who can't be deployed. That means people who are, who win, other people end up being deployed multiple times, a lot more. They end up at more risk. They end up being put into jeopardy more. And so it was, it was essentially drawing down of our military capacity,
yes,
taking away all the problems you have when you have transgender people and gay people in, mixed in with others in a fighting environment where they don't can't trust each other.
Rick, and of course, that's an issue where the president was willing to make noise, and you call it necessary noise. That's the title of this new book, How Donald Trump Inflames the Culture War, and Why This Is Good News for America. Rick Manning, my guest. You can get the book, by the way, at rickmanning.com, rickmanning.com. Be right back after this. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Our country is winning again, and our country is highly respected again. But while we are creating jobs and killing terrorists, the radical Democrats are going totally insane. They want to obliterate the rule of law, drive out faith from the public square. With last week's vote, the far left has declared war on American democracy itself. These people are lunatics. In the face of these attacks, Republicans are the most unified that I've ever seen. The American people are fed up with Democrat lies, hoaxes, slander. The Democrats' outrageous conduct has created an angry majority that will vote the do-nothing Democrats out of office soon. America is thriving like never before. And ladies and gentlemen of Kentucky, the best is yet to come.
That was President Trump last week in Kentucky, or earlier this week in Kentucky, and I think no one says it better than he does. We are at a crisis point, and in spite of his, when you go to his rallies, you hear him say things that make you like, whoops, I wish he wouldn't say that. I would be lying if I didn't say that I often feel that way. But intermixed with that are some powerful statements of truth. And I always say, as you hear me say almost every day, look at what a man does, not at what he says. President Trump actually does what he says. He does the things that he says. He keeps his promises. And interspersed with that is some political incorrectness, which offends a lot of people. But my next guest, Rick Manning, says it's necessary noise. That's the title of his new book, along with Star Parker. By the way, you can get this book at rickmanning.com, rickmanning.com. It's How Donald Trump Inflames the Culture War and Why This Is Good News for America. Rick and I have been friends for a long time. Let me repeat that he is the president of Americans for Limited Government. He is so highly respected in D.C. He works on the Trump. He worked on the Trump transition team. He still works with him with the Labor Department because economics is a specialty of his. He is heard in over 100 radio markets giving swamp updates, and he is the co-host of Breitbart News Tonight on Sirius XM 125, and also a frequent guest on One America News Network. Rick, you and I were not initially supporting Donald Trump. As I recall very vividly, you and I both supported Ted Cruz, and I want to know from you, what changed that for you, and why do you support him now?
Well, first of all, before Donald Trump ever walked down the staircase and started running for the presidency, you and I were working on an issue together, and that was trying to stop the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And we actually did a press conference together. And it was largely built around the sovereignty concerns of trading out America's economic sovereignty to a diverse bunch of countries, and with all the negative ramifications that came with it. And when we were fighting against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, we were facing basically the Republican establishment pretty head on. And it was there were problems like some of the countries that were supposed to be in the TPP oppressed Christians. Brunei, which is a Sharia law country, Malaysia, which bans the Bible, and we're part of it. And it just wasn't, and there was no thought given to anything about spreading freedom, about actually spreading American ideals. Instead, we were incorporating ideals from other religions and other countries that would be inculcated here and legitimized here. And so we managed to, and so we had a challenge. And Ted Cruz, who I did vote for on the primary to support, came out in favor of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And I was sitting up in New York at a McDonald's, actually, and trying to figure out what to do. And I called two people. I called Sarah Palin, and I called Donald Trump. Donald Trump picked up the phone, and I said, "Well, I need you to come out and oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership and fast tracking it." And Donald Trump said, "Send a microphone over, and we'll do an ad." And so we put an ad up, but Donald Trump's voice. That ran in New Hampshire and South Carolina and nationwide on Levin, that was said that it's a bad, bad deal. And he took on the entire establishment of the GOP and didn't do a political calculation. He did what was right for America. So I always liked Donald Trump. The reason I supported Ted Cruz was because I was afraid that Donald Trump would have absolutely no bench here in D.C., which he didn't. And as a result, he would have a hard time doing a lot of things he said he wanted to do because he wouldn't have people, a team that would be able to come in and help him do it. And quite honestly, that was correct. He didn't, and it's been a lot of challenges in that. But so I always liked Donald Trump. I voted for Ted Cruz because I thought Ted Cruz was better prepared to actually do the things he said he wanted to do. And Donald Trump would have a much harder time because he was an outsider. But having said that, Donald Trump pinpointed the exact issue, economic issue, that mattered most to middle America. And that was the hollowing out of America as we engaged in trade deals. They're based upon economic assumptions that were valid pre-Cold War, but were no longer valid post-Cold War. And we saw our jobs being shipped overseas. They called it outsourcing. They promised us cheaper, if they shipped out all of our textile jobs, that we were going to get cheaper socks. But it didn't do anything for the people who no longer had jobs in the textile industry. And when we shipped out our factories, our steel factories, our aluminum factories overseas, and had the Chinese literally disassemble those factories and ship them and take them all the parts China, reassemble them in China, then ship us back the steel that was created from American factories. There was nobody who was standing up for the guy who no longer had his job, the family who couldn't make their car payment anymore, that their whole community was devastated by it. And except for Donald Trump. Donald Trump's always stood up for real America. And he's the first guy who said, "I'm going to put America first." That's where I've always been. And so I was a relatively early adopter of Donald Trump. So while I did vote for Cruz in the March primary, I was not disappointed that Donald Trump became the nominee because Donald Trump was the only guy who was going to fight the fights that needed to be fought right then to try to bring America back and to give us hope back to this country from the standard Republican line, which was, "Oh, well, we're going to have lower prices and that's going to be good. And as a result, okay, some people, you're going to go to service economy and we're not going to really worry about having factories and manufacturing jobs here in America anymore because that really doesn't make sense in today's world economy." And that's the was the Republican line. And the Democrat line was basically the same thing. Donald Trump said, no, he's going to stand up for America. And you know, we needed a president who would stand up for America. And that's why I supported Donald Trump.
You know, Rick, in that aftermath of the election of Barack Obama, my husband and I, during that time, would frequently drive from Washington, D.C. to our hometown, Chicago. It was a 12-hour drive. We knew it well, and we would leave. I have it memorized. There's two routes, and we would drive. But I'm telling you, early into the Obama presidency, you could see the devastation. Car dealerships, you know, boarded up. We saw businesses out. We'd go into like a Burger King that half of the seating area was closed down, and it was shabby and dirty, and it was so depressing across Ohio and West Virginia and Pennsylvania. We could hardly bear it, honestly. Indiana also. And so it is absolutely true that President Trump, in spite of the elites, the Republican elites and the Democratic elites, has worked hard on behalf of middle America and the American people to restore. And you know as well as anyone what he's accomplished on the economy. We hear the economy's better, but tell us really, honestly, Rick, what are the numbers on that? What does that look like? How do we know it's actually better? Because how do we know what's being reported? What do you think is true about the economy?
Well, there are fewer today, in terms of employment. There are fewer people unemployed right now than there were in 2001. There are fewer, when you count last month, which was, there was a slight uptick of about 50,000 people between the months, which happens. You have fewer people last month than at any time since the year 2000. And in that time period, there have been tens of millions more people entering the workforce. Under Donald Trump, everybody who wants a job can effectively get a job. We still have a million more jobs available, Help Wanted finds out, than we actually have people looking for jobs. We have are they burger flipper jobs? Well, the answer is no. We have wages going up on average 3% per year. Inflation is at 1.7%, meaning you have real wage gains, people actually making more money. They're not just making a little bit more, but paying a little bit more for stuff they need. So they're actually making more money. And oh, by the way, the people who are making the most gains are people in the bottom 20%. African Americans have the lowest unemployment rate in history. But, in recorded history, they started doing this stuff in the 20s. So it's a recording it. So lowest unemployment rate for African Americans. You've got Hispanics who have an extraordinarily high or low unemployment rate. You have, basically across the board, you're looking at unemployment rates that are unseen and unheard of. Last month's 3.5% unemployment rate was the lowest unemployment rate since 1969. Wow. And in 1969, that unemployment rate was helped dramatically by the fact we had 500,000 of our working age males in Vietnam. So they didn't count as being part of the workforce.
Wow.
That's how incredible this economy is.
Yes.
Now, is it growing the way we like? No. It was we got a 1.9% second quarter or third quarter gross domestic product, which is lower than we would like. And that's largely because, in my estimation, it's largely because we're spending too much money at the federal level, that we're sucking up capital. And it's not to get too economic on it, but if all the capital for investment goes into government bonds, it's not being invested in building new factories and doing those kind of things. And as a result, it lowers your growth rate. It hurts the economy as opposed to stimulating it. And so I think we're in that inverse cycle. We're spending so much, we're now actually, every dollar we spend hurts the economy rather than helps it, as traditional Keynesian theory would dictate. So but you get down to it, look around at your neighbors. Are they working? Well, they are. Are they, is your house, what's your house doing? You know, overall, and by the way, I don't put too much stock in the stock market, but most people can look forward and say, I have I'm better able to retire than I was before.
Rick, we're almost...
I've got security. So it's ultimately, good. That's the answer.
Yeah, so, and this is something, this is your bailiwick, the economy. But in the few minutes, and we just have a few left, we are in crisis in this country. In spite of all the good things you just said, many people are not hearing that message. They're hearing that that was inherited from the Democrats, from Barack Obama, fill in the blanks. And we have people inside the White House who are undermining the president, as you and I both know very well. Do you think, by the way, the book is called Necessary Noise, How Donald Trump Inflames the Culture War and Why This Is Good News for America. And you can get this book at rickmanning.com. Rick, 30 seconds. Do you think the president is going to prevail in 2020?
I think God's sovereign, and we will, and it is, I personally think he will prevail, because I believe God still has blessings to bestow on America. But I know all I can really control is what I do about it, and I'm going to do everything in my power to try to make certain that he does prevail, and God willing that we are blessed with America be given another chance.
Okay. Thank you, Rick Manning. Again, the book is called Necessary Noise, and we'll put that on our Facebook page, rickmanning.com, to buy the book. Thank you so much, Rick, and thank you, everyone. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.